Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Welcome, my beloved Light family. Every Tuesday night now, we are going to do the first run of the show that we produce for BBS on Sunday night, Pacific Standard Time at 8:55. We're doing this as a courtesy for our East Coast listeners because we feel that for some of you, that Sunday night, basically 9 p.m. show is just too late because you have to go to work on Monday or get little kids to school. And so what we're doing now is that on every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on Station 1, you will have the first airing of our show, and then we will repeat it for those of you that prefer the Sunday night time, Sunday evening, and it will then be held at 8:55 or 9 p.m. For you, and it will be a repeat of what you could hear on Tuesday. So if you miss one, you can catch the other. We are just delighted to, for the first time, be airing on Tuesday night. And I am also actually, incidentally, at the same time that this show is airing, I am on the show with Alan Steinfeld. So at 7 p.m. Tuesday night, I am having this show, which I've had to pre-record, so that I can also be interviewed by Alan Steinfeld. And that's at 7 o'clock on BBS on Station 2. So I'm going to be on Station 1 and Station 2, so you may have to check the archives for one of those two. The other thing that is similar to it is that, you know, similar in both shows, is that both shows is going to have as its topic matter the croglyphs that have been appearing in Wiltshire during June and July in England here of this 2009. And it simply is so, my brothers and sisters, that I have paid scant attention to anything other than the information pouring in each day. The records that I've been given to translate have been riveting. There is enough scrolls and records in the secret libraries of the earth that I can translate them for the next 2,000 years and not reach an end of it. So every day, you know, I live a bit like a recluse with my students worldwide as my family, and that's about it. Because as you can see when you go to my diary on almeendiary.com, or actually our Twitter, which is Twitter Wisdom, which is one of my two Twitter sites, every day we are receiving new information. And that's my way of passing it to you. So I paid no attention to the croglyphs. I knew that I had to translate them at some point, but I thought that it would be January of next year. In fact, I told my students, I think that January of next year I have to do the croglyphs. Instead, they happened over the last 2 weeks. So I am going to share with you information on the croglyphs, and then I'm sure that Alan's show will have additional questions that he'll ask that will then be revealed, because this is just sort of a very brief outline that I can accomplish in an hour's time. Now, my brothers and sisters, we have actually discontinued our commercials during the show because sometimes these shows are so holy and beings are speaking to us, and I just felt that it was disruptive, and one of you had written and said that, and I agreed wholeheartedly. And so I do just at the beginning of each show need to make a few announcements. And the first announcement that I wish to make is a phenomenal giveaway that Spiritual Journeys is doing, because we are closing down. We have offices in Singapore, we have offices in Malaysia, all over the world, but our Kentucky office is our head office. And there we are closing down our storage unit from which we have been shipping. We're going to be shipping directly from the people that produce our books. And so we are offering you until the 15th of September 2009 only, and as long as stocks last, as many as you wish to have, you know, within reason. I mean, you're happy to get a box or two if you just explain to our beloved Hilda, who runs our head office out of Kentucky, when you contact her what you need. But we are giving you for free one of my most beautiful books, because we're closing it down, and I had loved this book so much. I actually had more printed than the other books. Secrets of the Hidden Realms. It's over 300 pages. It is jam-packed full of sacred information of the earth. It gives you the Lemurian alphabet, the Atlantean alphabet, the Atlantean clock that's accurate to within 5 minutes as a calendar, and much information about all the beautiful mystical kingdoms. It starts to teach you the language of some of the angelic groups. The other languages are taught on ascensionangels.com, incidentally. But anyway, this is a $20 book, basically, and it's $19.95, and it's yours for free. So you should get some for your friends for Christmas and stock up. And in a recession year, we had hoped that this would help you over the Christmas season. Also, you can see it on our storefronts if you go to schoolofarcana.org. We have a storefront there, and then our main website, which is spiritualjourneys.com. The storefront there will show you also the secrets of the hidden realms and its description, and as well as the 6 premier CDs. At this point, they're only listing 4, I believe, but we have 6 available for you. And it is beautiful CDs, an hour long, each of them, that has the spoken word with a blanket of beautiful channeled music, completely different from one to the other. In the background, they're pressed, professionally made, beautiful, and they're not run off like, you know, homemade CDs are. And they're $13.99, and you can get those for free as well, only if we can ship it by September the 15th, when that unit should be closed down. So contact her at spiritualjourneys_Hilda@yahoo.com. So that is the first thing that I wanted to say. And then our latest ebook is out. It's along the lines of Khalil Gibran's book, The Prophet. It's a very deeply lyrical and philosophical, beautiful work that's not like my usual books at all, actually. It's called The Seer's Journey. And you can currently get it. It's currently being printed, so it's only available as an ebook, and you can download that as well. So, my brothers and sisters, just a word for those of you that are new to the show as well, and then we can go straight into our topic matter. Please look at our Pride and Joy. There's 2 sites to go to. One is appliedmysticism.com, where we currently are in the middle of a 3-month course. It starts up again, I believe, the 1st of November, if I'm not mistaken. But it's a 3-month course delivering 6 days a week, information in multimedia, packages of information, over 1,000 pages for that course, including the Belvaspitar at the end, as well as audio and video packages that come. So we've had phenomenal, phenomenal endorsements from our students. There are 200 currently signed up for the first run of it. And there's a virtual student lounge in which they discuss the deep topics of each day. And it has made incredibly beautiful mystical information understandable and able to be digested by the participants. And that was our goal. So if you go to www.appliedmysticism.com, you will see the 3-month course that is the science of incorruptibility and immortality. And it's actually the science of immortality and incorruptibility. And then also on the 1st of October, we are starting the Academy of Alchemy course, which you get on academyofalchemy.com. It's the angelic material that was given to us, and it goes actually hand in hand with the material that was given in the course of the science of immortality and incorruptibility. We also have in November a 3-month course that reveals for the first month the secrets of the hidden libraries. Out of 130 libraries, I have translated a little bit out of each one. And this course is for the Institute of Human Potential, and we'll let you know when its site is up and ready, but we're just telling you that these things are available, so please take a look. Please, let's start in. My brothers and sisters, first of all, as we start this material on the crop glyphs, which for the first time in my life I've bothered to sit down and translate, and I could not have done it without the assistance of the star beings that came to the gathering in Ireland that I've just held, and the students that are masters in my classes. They were also being contacted by these star brothers, and we were assisted and given who it was that was producing these glyphs, why they are getting so urgent, and what they say. Now, as we do this, I want to ask you, you may find it of interest, we have on a website the sound of a crop glyph being made that was recorded by the BBC out of London. If you go to www.arubathirina, I'll spell that for you, A-R-U-B-A, F for Fred, I-R-I-N-A .com, arubathirina.com, you will hear the crop glyph being made that is recorded by the BBC. I have the good fortune of having a cousin that's one of their primary film producers. So, to continue, the messages from the crop glyphs. Now, urgent messages have been appearing in the fields of Wiltshire during the months of June and July 2009. The styles have been varied. You can see that it's just not the same group making all of them. And several seem to depict star systems. The most intriguing, perhaps, has been the one I have called the Covenant, with writing trailing from the tail and wings of a bird. The same type of writing started coming through some of the oracles in my classes about a year ago. The writing is that of the Andromedan race called the Barugala. That's the writing on this one bird with actual writing trailing out of its tail and its wings. And I think that we've put it on our diary, so you can look at almindiary.com. I think that our beloved Sister Jan, that is the one that mans that for us, has put that bird there with the writing coming out of its tail, and she may have put my interpretation on there as well. But we were receiving this writing in class. In fact, one of the oracles in my class, Denise Ronzali, who is putting on for us the end of this month a beautiful workshop in the foothills of the Colorado Rockies. We have a weekend workshop there. She's the one that began this writing. And now we see it, you know, years later in the crop glyphs. The Covenant, now 24 races have come to remind man of his promise. 12 known planets and planetary systems and 12 hidden planets have banded together to deliver a warning and a reminder of a promise to us. During the last week of August, when I met with a group of masters in Ireland, it was a week of tremendously auspicious planetary occurrences, and you can always read those on our diary. But 10 of these races, there are 24 total, 10 of them, communicated directly to us, either appearing to us or helped provide answers to the glyphs they wrote. Because some of them I knew because I've been translating now for many, many years the secret tablets and writings of the earth. My books have them in. The opening the doors of heaven, the revelations of Isis began the opening of those libraries, and it has multiple glyphs in. It says how it sounds, and then it gives you the English. So my brothers and sisters, some of these I knew. For instance, there's a glyph that clearly indicates the symbol for covenant or promise that has to be fulfilled. fulfill or agreement, and so forth. So some I could identify, some I could not, and they were the ones who helped us. So I just want to give you where the sources for this came from. The other thing that I have want to do is I just want to start out identifying the races, and what they're trying to communicate will come second. So there's glyphs in the Wiltshire crop glyphs that specifically identify the races. There is one that is that identifies the star system of the Barugala race from Andromedans. And their message to me was, and for those of you that are new to my work, as I know by changing our stations, I've possibly got some new folks on the line, and we welcome you most wholeheartedly, my brothers and sisters of light. So when I translate, it often comes out as rhyme. And so the message that they gave in very, very abbreviated form, I've got pages of it, but it says, "We are the ones who have written in fields. Crop glyphs are used to express our pleas. Humanity flourishes while our race wanes. Yet from humanity, all other races came." To understand their messages that are written in the crop glyphs, I have now, several books have gone into revealing the sources and revealing the fact that humanity is the root race. That's why we are the densest. We are the original race from all other races came from us. The earth is called in many of the hidden records the actual cradle of civilization. If you take a look at The Gift of the Unicorns, which is one of my books, and it, the second half of it, I took dictation. I was instructed by the infinite to sit down and simply write it. And dictation came in from a group that is the history keepers of the cosmos. And so the history keepers of the cosmos wrote down the earth and where it originated, that it did not originate in the star system. The fascinating thing of it is, my brothers and sisters, as this information unfolds today, I finally began to understand their information that they gave to me in January of 2007, even as I was translating the Isis material out of the Isis libraries. I was having to do two books at once because it all came in at once. So, and I will again refer to that later, but they also were absolutely adamant that humanity, although we have gone into a state of deep forgetfulness, which we will start to understand why as we translate these crop glyphs, we are the original race. The Carcina race is the second race from Andromeda. And they told us that there is a specific symbol which are in the fields, and I'm sorry, I don't have a way to refer to it, but this is also a symbol that was depicted of the white light cosmos in which we dwell, being infiltrated by three other black light cosmoses. The Carcina race, there's two races from Andromeda that have claimed that they are part of making these glyphs in the fields. 24 races total, of which they are two. The Carcina race, if you go on the internet and you take a peek at the glyphs of Wiltshire, you'll see one that looks like a fan. And it has seven circles in the fan shape, and it's where its handle would be. It looks like the sort of a crescent moon. There are three crescent moons in there. Crescent moon is the symbol in many mystical languages, and I speak many of the ancient languages. The crescent moon is the symbol for black light. So this symbol is in the fields, and you can look at that very clearly. The Carcina did that. They are telling us that so if you see the fan with the seven circles in it, the big open part, that is the seven directions, the seven bands of compassion comprised of specific qualities that I wrote about in the book, Journey to the Heart of God. And the reason I keep quoting my books is so that you can do the research. I have serious, serious students. I mean, they walk around with a backpack with the material because it comes so much and so rapidly that we've had to create guidelines on our websites for people to know how to begin studying the work. I have been dictated to. My hand writes it. I don't use computers. 23 books since January of 2009, and here we are on the 1st of September 2009. So my brothers and sisters, the Karsana are saying that we are in a white light cosmos with seven directions and that we are being infiltrated by three other black light cosmoses, the three sickle moons in the handle that's pushing into the fan. Their message to me, and again, this is four lines out of pages of it, as depletion formed within humanity, artificial life filled the place of what used to be. The light of the one life that shone through human beings was blocked by the dark spots and shadows could be seen. Now, let's go through this so we understand. You see, humanity was the root race, and also the densest. Some of their life force was used to create other races, causing shadow beings and races to form within the cosmos, because if you look at it like this, let's pretend we are, as the root race, the lens in front of the projector. The light inside the projector is the infinite, the one life's light. The light inside the projector shines through humanity to create an image on the screen, the big movie screen. Now, if there are black spots on that lens, which according to the Karsana, there is, because all races came from humanity, but they took some of humanity's life force to be created. And this is when we were in the deep, confined dream state of life, where individuation began. And that as a result, shadow races have formed. And this is how these demons and beings that are not of light have arisen. Because those, as the light of the infinite shone through humanity into the rest of creation, and there are seven such screens which in and of themselves became a lens. Each time a new generation of creatures were created, they became less and less potent and virile with life force, because it was like a cloning. It was a watering down system. That is what they are telling us, and that these dark spots have come back into our white light cosmos and have invaded it. Now, from the Antares star system, a race known as the Ki'ikiana Nuhaba. The Ki'ikiana Nuhaba, three of these beings, appeared in the back of my class when I was in Toronto in the end of February 2005, right as the planetary ascension started. They had long white hair. They were dressed in simple white robes. The people in the back of the class were speaking to them. They didn't want to participate. They just stood there. And this was the time when the planetary ascension, as I said, started in earnest. And for some reason, they just came to observe. Their message to us is this, and they did reappear in Ireland a week ago when I was there. They say, over a million were taken from humankind to be studied and interbred, a solution to find. Little did they know it would hasten their demise to incorporate into their race the white light of humankind. So, just to ask you a little question. My brothers and sisters, if we go back to the early 2000s, do you remember how light workers were creating a big fuss because they were being abducted. I used to have an office manager work for me, and she would come in the morning with wounds all over her body. I've told the story on BBS Archives. You can find it there before, of where I adopted this beautiful little girl, and I'm a single mom, and she and I would, I would wake up in the morning, and this child would have been taken in the night and be there with marks on her arms where somebody had tied her down and little incisions on her body, and she would look like she had been abused, and I would be so upset about it. I would sleep over her with my body, trying to prevent her from being taken, and still somehow they could put me out in this drug sleep and take my little girl. It was one of the biggest nightmares I have ever lived as a mother to have that happen. My brothers and sisters, have you not wondered why the abduction stories have become less and less and less and less and less, and we hardly hear from it now? Because they're not abducting us anymore. The ones that abducted us have disappeared. When a human's white light comes in contact with the black light of other species or other cosmoses, very important there, because remember, the Karsana said we were being invaded into our cosmos from these other cosmoses. So the human's white light is the answer. So when a human's white light comes in contact with the black light of other species, it destroys the black light creations, assuming the white light is stronger. One of the reasons why light workers have known with all their hearts that they have to get a certain amount of white light onto the planet and into themselves, with all of their heart over the last years, they have been on a frantic pace. My brothers and sisters, if we had not done that, we would not at this point have freedom of choice of life. So let's continue. The fourth race that came to us was the Orions, and there is a symbol. It looks a bit like a snowflake. It has axes with little dots of various sizes on the axis. This is the symbol for Orion, and I had a beautiful sister come from the States to Ireland, incredible oracle, and she, when she got there, she had already been given this symbol by the Orions, and she'd been given it before it appeared in July in the crop glyphs of the Wiltshire area in England. So this symbol for Orion had previously been given, and it's the Orion race that did this. And we were contacted, by the way, by two Orion races. But the one who actually drew the symbol, and I don't know if the symbol is just their symbol for Orion or if it's a generally accepted one, but they're the Ari Achna Ubat. Ari Achna Ubat. They came to me in the middle of a class. Let me think. I think that it was around 2003. In the middle of the class, and they started speaking their language, which is an incredibly interesting language. I've never heard one like it. And they told us that there were beings in their race of other races that no longer are. They've been pulled into oblivion. They are also ones that abducted humans, and coming in contact with the white life in humans has actually hastened their demise. But they told us at that time that the Orions used what is called the weapon called Mach. And Mach is where they take the electromagnetic particles at the subquantum physics level, tiny, tiny, and they remove the memory of the horizontal little waveform, which is the magnetic one, and they imprint new memories on it. And then the electrical vertical waveform interprets it. It's like a little wobbly cross, these little particles, you see. And so they would go in and just remove the memory of a race and say that you know, just implant new memories that they're the overlords of the race. They don't even have to fire a shot across their bow, so to speak. They just simply change their memories. It is clear to me, though I have not gone there yet, it is yet to come, because I am supposed to write approximately 150 pages of history of these races and their interaction with man within about the next month. But my brothers and sisters, it's clear to me that our memories have also been tampered with and changed. And not necessarily just from the previous Orion race, but from these cosmoses from outside. And so the message from the Orion race, and this is the other race, which is actually one of the side stars in the belt of Orion, the Ampha Pa Bian. And their name is so amazing. See, I study these ancient languages, and I often find that things that are words that made it into our vocabulary come from these ancient roots. Amphibian comes from the Ampha Pa Bian, because what they are is huge frog-like beings. And I've actually taken a photo when I was after communicating with one of them and had his face appear over my body. They say the following: the more proactive humans become, the more we have stagnation. We see that through man, our race will have extermination. And so this is one more little piece of the puzzle. We're hoping at the end to piece the puzzle together for you. We have been on a frantic pace to quickly enhance the light on the planet, so that the mind control methods that are coming in from these three hostile cosmoses can be overthrown or counteracted by the increased white light in the light workers. They're saying, though, realize that as you do that, you're also pulling us, who are also a form of not as black of a light as the other. Black light is a subliminal light. That's why we don't normally see them. You have to be able to see black light to see an alien as he stands in your room. So they are also being pulled into oblivion by our rapidly moving ascent. So that's the one piece that just tuck away. We're going to tie this all together for you. The sixth race is Melaganiga. Now, the Egyptians call it Oliblish, O-L-I-B-L-I-S-H. And to read about Melaganiga is one of two massive planetary planets that you can actually see it in their glyph. But Melaganiga, the other planet, is called Kolob. And the Mormons of the Earth are familiar with Kolob and Oliblish. The history keepers gave me the name of Melaganiga, and I said, wait a minute, this sounds like the star system that the Egyptians used to know about, and now the Mormons do, because their prophet Joseph Smith was a seer like myself, and he translated with the help of seer stones. And initially, when a seer starts to translate, they have to use an artificial device. He used what's called in the Old Testament the Urim and Thummim, which is used by the old Levite priests to see. And he translated an Egyptian papyrus, and the papyrus spoke about Oliblish and Kolob. And the history keepers told me that that is what Melaganiga is. According to the star being that communicated to us in Dublin, this symbol that they left indicates, and it's beautiful, it looks like a beautiful sort of a device that has been twisted into a figure eight with lines and little circles, pretty design. But according to them, the symbol indicates that the Hathor race on Venus originated in the Melaganiga star system, coming to our star system through a wormhole or tunnel. I know that Tom Kenyon speaks to the Hathor. I have only one time spoken to the Hathor. At that time, I asked them where they were originally from, and they said, we come from, they said 12 levels higher. This was at the level where the Earth was at that time, because we've ascended. But 12 levels higher, that would make sense, my brothers and sisters. The 12th, what used to be, the 12th dimension, is where Melaganiga and Kolob is. And they said they came through a tunnel. And this is now being verified as they came through. If you go, now, we have a book that's called Aruba Serena, and we have a website that's called Aruba Serena. If you go, go on our forum, which is on arcana.org, you can ask our moderator there, who is Hong An, H-O-N-G-A-N. She's the moderator for the forum on schoolofarcana.org. Ask her where you can see the photo of the pink hand outside the 10th floor window of the Royal York Hotel in Toronto. I was there with 9 other women for a week. And during that week, the fairies permitted us to photograph them. On the arubafairina.com website, there's an exquisite picture of a fairy right in front of my face. You will see a pink hand of an alien from outside the 10th-story window as and a pink glow. These are the beings that give off that pink glow. And these are the beings from Melaganiga. So yeah, you can see that photo. It might make it interesting to you. The other planets that have written in the fields are Lyra, Arcturus, and just for interest's sake, in The Gift of the Unicorns, you read how the Earth briefly sojourned in Arcturus, but that she was thrust away, and they said basically she could not stay. Because she was harmful to our life. The Arcturus planet pushed us away, and some of it was by design. Apparently they used some sort of technology to push us out of their solar system. And only now are they explaining to us why this happened. The history keepers told me that it happened and the consequences of it to the Earth and what happened to the Earth's surface and so on at that time. And you can read it in The Gift of the Unicorns. But they didn't tell me why. And the why is that we were of white light. And Arcturus is of the more subtle black light. My brothers and sisters, I just want to explain this issue of white light and black light to you real carefully. We are currently, for the first time, producing sound technologies that work with black frequency and white frequency, black light and white light. Up until now, it has only been used in a hostile manner against humanity. The HAARP facilities, H-A-A-R-P, facilities that are not just one or two places, they are virtually in every country. Have been used to affect the emotions of man. They use an excess of black light frequency. Mind control has been used upon humanity through multiple different methods, including little devices, and I've never told anyone this actually, but including a little device no larger than a pen that hovers above a specific area. And as the Earth turns, it turns with it. It stays specific to that area. And it broadcasts messages at a subliminal level, which is black light. So what we have done, and we have it currently on special, is to create individual elixirs. The price right now is much lower than what it can be because it takes us hours to produce these. But we balance the white light and the black light for an individual. As you give us your name, I receive the music by dictation for you. If I don't do it right, if there's more white light or more black light than there should be, then I have to do it over. And we overdub it. It has music in it that I sing, and then it has the harmonies underneath with the words that's specific for you in the infinite language that's being spoken to you. And my brothers and sisters, a personal elixir like that you have for life. It's the only benign technology that I know of to balance out the hostile, invading black light energies that are coming in, other than, you know, massive rays in your own consciousness. And when I started producing these sound elixirs, I had huge detoxification symptoms. Uric acid, I felt like I had flu, my joints were all achy and sore, like, as though you've done a lot of exercise, because there's bioorganisms that have been placed in our soil that is etched out. There's a bioorganism. It looks like a little tadpole or a little sperm. And you can see it in the Wiltshire crop gloves of June and July. And these have infiltrated our air, our water, our land. It keeps people hooked into the base pornography, violence, the baser emotions. And when light workers are hooked into those baser pornography and things like that, that so many are addicted to, and they take the place of real relationships, which also is by design, and there's nanotechnology that the Japanese have discovered, and the Russians as well, actually, in our soil that's artificially produced. And you can look on the internet and find it. It's nanotechnology discovered in the Ural Mountains. And you'll see they're 0.0003 micron small. They also produce fear to love, fear to connect. Then the bioorganisms program us to base living. And what this has done is, in fact, etched into the fields of the land. The fields of the land in Wiltshire is explaining by, there's a triangle joined with its lines, and in the middle, there is where it should be the middle dot, it's displaced, it's down somewhat. This is the mystical symbol that I have found in many different writings that mean there is an alternate reality that's been created, a sub-creation. You're living in what is not your real reality. And the triangulation is the three cosmoses. When you want to create an alternate reality, there must be a triangulated effort. And, I mean, I can spend the rest of 2 hours speaking about that alone, but bottom line is, as light workers, we've got to unhook from the mud of the earth if we want to bring back the true reality of man that will show just how immensely the ascension has changed life. We can't see it, so we lose faith and we lose hope because of this superimposed image of a different reality over ours. So the Pleiadians, Beta Centauri, and they're ones that I describe in the book, Secrets of the Hidden Realms. So for those of you getting the book free, you will absolutely be able to read my experiences with them. They saved me when I was taken on board an Orion craft. The Beta Centauri is one of the stars next to the Southern Cross. The Mer race from Sirius, and also the Bear, Ursa Major. And there is a very strange looking symbol. You can see it clearly varies from the other symbols in its style. It looks like a shell or a mer tail at the bottom. This actually is the symbol for the mer race from the Sirius star system. Now, planets 13 through 24, I'm going to tell you where to go to find them, my brothers and sisters. We show you their symbols. We describe what's on them. We show you the glyphs that are written for them so that you can be familiar with them. All you have to do, if you can make a note of this, is go to www.theastrologyofisis.com. www.theastrologyofisis.com will tell you about the hidden planets that are around the Earth. Why are they hidden? Because their light is so ethereal, so subliminal, that we can't see it. They're black light planets. And they're more black light than the other planets, and so they're actually out of our vision. Let's go through the messages in the time that we have left. Message one. And these all have crop glyphs. To bear it out, but I'm not going to talk about the crop glyphs so that we can tie everything up nicely by the end of our program. Number one, creation has been taking place through an electrical method, cloning. Each generation getting increasingly weaker. Secondly, through triangulated influences from three black light cosmoses outside our own, we are living in a sub-created, alternate reality. So, number three, the symbol for black and white light and frequency was left in the crop glyphs, and it explains that they must balance each other to eliminate illusion. And then we have a symbol that indicates that we've lived through a wrinkle of time, a lost piece of history, in which our songbirds sank into a black light reality. Now, if you do a bit of research, you will find that half of all our songbird species was lost, like, in a year. Nobody knew where they went. They're telling us where they went. See, the problem there is that they can come in, replace government leaders, or put beings in place that are going to be government leaders. They could replace our whole reality. We wouldn't even know it. Because in a wrinkle of time, and again, I explain what it was like to live through a wrinkle of time in the book, Secrets of the Hidden Realms. The fifth point is in the book, Windows into Eternity. I spoke about the hostile cosmoses outside ours giving a similar symbol to this one that is found in the fields. There's a symbol for an external cosmos. It looks a bit like a water lily. My brothers and sisters, it was in June of 2007 that I received a similar symbol, which you can see in the book, Windows into Eternity, because that was the time I was given the information of what lay outside our cosmos. So, we also have the Japanese studies of what they call yellow dust found in sand, found what they describe as little factories producing chemicals. These lower consciousness, and then, of course, you know, similar discoveries of nanotechnology have been made in Russia. Now, they have that, an exact replica of what one of those looked like in the fields. Number eight, removing the illusion of relationship will produce the inability of the nanotechnology to affect us and restore the frequencies to eliminate nanoorganisms. If you go to almeendiary.com, you will see the seven relationships that we have to eliminate. It's an illusion. As long as we believe we are in relationship, as long as we do not see ourselves as the one being expressing as the many, then we become affected by their technology. So, in raising man's light to match the black light of the hostile cosmoses, we can cancel them out and their hostile technologies. We are canceling out some of our star races who willingly have sacrificed themselves to save our cosmos. We have an agreement with them to keep their memory alive, that they can be resurrected by the infinite. The mystical symbol used for agreement appears in many different forms in our crop glyphs. My brothers and sisters, this phenomenal glyph that actually for the first time, as far as I know, not that I know that much about crop glyphs, but has writing in it, is written by the Andromedans. And if you translate it, it's left wing, the writing trailing out of the left wing, says, an ancient covenant made with man to remember. When life, and the right wing says, when life is renewed, all light balanced, that man's memory bring us back. The tale says, as man's light grows, ours being opposite dims. This is necessary to rid the cosmos of the invader. My goodness, now we get to why there's so many things about promise. Covenant, remember your promise. Ancient covenant, agreement. See, my brothers and sisters, the invasion of these hostile external cosmoses is not just here on Earth. It's the whole cosmos. All races are aware of it. Man is, you know, I guess we're just becoming aware of it. But because of that, we have got black, our star races are black light. The most black light is the cosmos is outside. There's degrees of this. We are the place of the white light. If we raise our white light very, very, very high so that it balances the external cosmoses, we will cancel out all their nanotechnology and all these organisms. The agreement is that our races knew that they too would be canceled out. So they willingly lay down their lives, caused by the white light becoming too bright, because our excess light will also get rid of the invading cosmos' mind-controlling technologies throughout the cosmos. Man's part of the agreement is that although he is creating the demise of other star races by increasing his light, he is also their salvation in dissolving the cosmoses of shadow. Through remembering them, we will bring about their return. I want to just close by telling you that virtually every star race that has tampered with us, that have tried to keep us down, that have abducted our people, trying to understand why their populations are diminishing and ours is in fact increasing, trying to understand it, every single one of them have said to us through various ways. I had an Orion walk into my class on stage where I was standing in Toronto some years ago, I think it's around 2001. And he gave us the same information. He said, races are realizing that every time humanity moves up, they are one step closer to the brink of extinction. And he said, we are studying it. We don't know why. In 2004, myself and four women that were came to me for a small group, this was before I was doing the work globally that the Infinite has instructed me to do. I was just working as a Nagual with small groups of women and sometimes men. But we were for 1 week taken on and off and on and off an Andromedan craft. They are the ones that taught me about the stages of change that I wrote about in Journey to the Heart of God. They are also the ones that told me, we thought you were our children. Now we find you are our elders. In other words, they thought we were some wayward race, and then they discovered we were what they call in their language the Pa-Tal, P-A-A-T-A-A-L. The Pa-Tal means the royal ones, the nobility. My brothers and sisters, it is our sacred duty to love the diversity of races everywhere. They are represented in man around us. As we love the creations of diversity, we bring these races back. We have always on Earth been the genetic library of the cosmos. I wish to end with you with a message that I have felt coming that is from the Infinite. So I will speak the language and then I will translate it. Ishpa eye, aka inishvaistava, mispikiana husese chikiana su, pa unehiska ya, se ushehia manach, te ikie taha, isha husaya, yeh paya, kunash vibi asta. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. It is not responsibility that you fear, for you and I are one. And wherever you are, I am near. Do not let the appearances blind your eyes. Believe not that which form says in its lies. Eshekiana esefa ukaya. If I could part the curtain, you would behold. Eshekiana su ekeka piana su eneshia. That indeed a glorious ascension has taken place. So, my brothers and sisters, I am out of time and I have got to run. And so next week, the same time, we will be talking again. Much love always.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity with Al Mee. Please join us again next week.